In the 10 years since the global crisis, most macroeconomists accept that their tools need to incorporate real-world phenomena, such as financial intermediation or labour market frictions. But what's the best way to do this? In a CEPR discussion paper called simply Macro Needs Micro, Professor Fabio Gironi argues that the next generation of macro tools should make much more use of microeconomic foundations than even the most innovative models have done so far. Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists around the world. My name is Tim Phillips, and today I'm speaking to Fabio to discover exactly why he thinks that micro would improve the state of macro. Welcome, Fabio. Now, newspapers and blogs have been full of criticisms of benchmark macro models in the last few years. Is this paper part of this trend?
Thank you, Tim. And no, the paper is definitely not part of the trend. There have been fair criticisms of macro and unfair criticisms. And this paper is part of an effort trying to point out that the picture is not as bleak as many think.
Okay, so let's think about the criticisms of macro models, which you think are justified, those fair criticisms.
There are several, and they've been highlighted by the global crisis and the subsequent recession. It's absolutely fair to point out that macro did not do enough to pay attention to the role of the financial sector. It's fair to point out that we did not pay enough attention to the distributional consequences of policy actions. It's fair to point out also what I try to do in this paper, which is that we did not pay enough attention to the forms side of our models and the form side dynamics.
In the paper, you looked at how recent research is addressing these problems. Can we look at closed economy models first? Where do you think the positive work is being done with these?
So the paper focuses on the progress that has been made in bringing more attention to the production side of the economy and the way in which we model forms and the way in which we look at how they interact with each other. In the typical macroeconomic framework that is used for both positive and normative analysis, we tend to think of forms in terms of a set of identical producers that act under perfect competition, or a fixed number of producers that have some monopoly power and act under monopolistic competition. And in particular, this second specification is the one that has provided the foundation for New Keynesian macroeconomics. Now, the problem that I and others saw there was macroeconomics grabbed a piece of the monopolistic competition model, monopoly power, as a stepping stone to introduce nominal rigidity, but quote-unquote forgot the free entry condition. And so we all started working with models in which there is this fixed number of producers that operate in the economy, and abstracting from the dynamics of entry and exit into market is a limitation because it prevents models from addressing very important real-world phenomena and very important policy questions. Now, with Mark Mailitz and Florian in Bilby, we developed a framework for analysis of business cycle fluctuations that incorporates the dynamics of producer entry over the business cycle. And in an article that was published in the Journal of Political Economy in 2012, we showed that this framework does at least as well or as poorly as the basic real business cycle model on the standard dimensions on which many models are typically evaluated. But on top of that, it helps us understand the dynamics of variables that the typical macro framework is silent about, the cyclicality of business creation, of producer entry, and how this contributes to propagating fluctuations, dynamics of markup over the business cycle, as implied by gradual variation in the number of producers that operate. One can incorporate this these features in the model without much additional complication, while still developing a model that can be solved largely with pencil and paper and easily extended to incorporate other features, including nominal rigidity, for instance, to think about monetary policy questions. And then what happened subsequently was that several others took the framework and started extending it in other directions and looking at empirical implications. And these moved in directions that connect to questions that were highlighted by the crisis and the recession. Financial frictions introduced in the model, thinking about the conduct of policy, thinking about other types of imperfections, thinking about interactions between producers that are not operating under monopolistic competition in a continuum, but that are interacting strategically, as implied by the existence of firms that are not of very small size relative to the size of the market. And all this, I think, is very important and very promising.
Now let's have a look at open economy. Is you point out that 20 years ago, Paul Krugman wrote that the difficulty of reconciling macro models with trade theory meant that we were effectively giving policy advice by the seat of our pants. Is this still the case?
The quote by Krugman has been motivating my research for a long time. I've always been interested in policy questions. And once I started thinking of this issue of the omission of producer-level dynamics, the implications that it had in terms of an artificial separation in our thinking about business cycle fluctuations versus longer-term growth dynamics or artificial separation between international trade and international macroeconomics, that really became a key driver for my research agenda. I think we've been taking steps in the right direction. I do not think we are still making policy advice by the seat of our pants. I think policymakers have been increasingly paying attention to what we can learn from the results of research that integrates international trade and international macroeconomics. To me, for instance, the April 2016 issue of IMF World Economic Outlook and its discussion of structural reforms is very much an example of that, of how policy advice has been building on the insights that can be obtained by this joint analysis of macro and micro level dynamics. But there is still a lot to be done. I like to look at the glass as half full, but it is half full.
One of the criticisms of the macro models that we're using at the moment is that they're often put to one side when policymakers make decisions. When we incorporate more micro within the macro models, do they become more relevant for policymaking?
I think so, absolutely. I actually think policymakers do pay more attention to the insights and results from models than the modelers get credit for. And the example that I was making before about the IMF's World Economic Outlook and all the advice that we've seen coming from Christine Lagarde and other high-profile contributors to policymaking and policy discussions connects with that. If one has been reading Mario Draghi's introductory statements to his press conferences and many speeches, his references to talk about the issue of structural reforms, to the importance of these policy tools stimulating the creation of new productive units, that allocation of resources, a more resilient economy in responses to shocks are countless. Now, if we want to fit the narrative of policymakers, talk to policymakers and provide them with tools to think about these policy questions, we necessarily have to bring more microeconomics into macro. We need our models to incorporate these micro-level dynamics that they are talking about and how these micro-level dynamics interact with ultimately aggregate outcomes, how aggregate outcomes shape micro-level decisions and in turn are shaped by micro-level decisions. happens. When we read the narrative of these policy discussions, it's clear that the macroeconomists, we need to pay a lot more attention to the side of how we model firms, of how we model their heterogeneity, of how we model their interactions. And there is a lot of exciting work that is going on in this area, and that I try to highlight in the paper, and that I think has been percolated in the policy conversations. And I think this is very valuable.
Olivier Blanchard has argued that we shouldn't obsess over creating one model to fit all. Do we have to learn in future to live with lots of different types of model?
I very much agree with Olivier. He's making an important point, a very important point. We need to be non-dogmatic or pragmatic, and we need to accept that different models have different purposes. There can be much to learn by looking at the insights that we can have from applying different models to the same question. And ultimately, by engaging in this exercise, hopefully at the end of the process we can feel more comfortable and more confident in our answers, while always keeping in mind that any model we work with, you know, from the simplest toy models to the more complicated dynamic general equilibrium frameworks with many bells and whistles, they are all going to be massively simplified tools relative to reality. And so, yes, we need to learn to live with a variety of models. And in this context, DSG models can give a very important contribution to the discussions. But again, to me, a key observation is that we cannot be dogmatic. We need to be pragmatic and flexible and ready to learn lessons from different approaches. You know, throughout my career since graduate school, I have been mostly working with DSG models, but I do plenty of teaching that is not based on DSG, and I think we should always be ready to learn from approaches that are different from the ones that we tend to use for our own research.
Finally, Fabio, what about someone who's just entering graduate school now? If there was a researcher starting out in this field, what advice would you give them?
I guess one I mentioned answering your previous question, which is don't be dogmatic. Another very important piece of advice, I think, is to read very widely. Make sure not to read only the last 5 years or few years of literature on important questions. There is a tendency in economics to reinvent the wheel every few years, and it's very important that we keep in mind the lessons that we learned from previous generations of scholars and of approaches. And of course, I guess the final piece of advice is use more micro. Macro needs micro.
Thank you very much, Fabio.
Thanks to you, Tim. This was a real pleasure for me.
I've been speaking to Fabio Gironi of the University of Washington about his CEPR discussion paper, Macro Needs Micro, which is now available for download. This has been a Vox Talk, presented by the Centre for Economic Policy Research. For more in the series, visit voxeu.org/vox-talks.